That theme, worthy of the Lamb, does move your heart in praise and adoration, you may be dead. Seriously. You may be dead. You may still be dead in sin, in darkness, in separation from the Lamb of God. But today, you don't have to remain there. You really don't. I'd like to invite you to turn with me to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 5. We're looking at the Gospel of the Kingdom, proclaimed and lived and died and risen for by our Savior Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings, the Lamb of God, the Lord of Lords. You take out your outline before you. I know this is Palm Sunday. I'm not really sorry that we don't have palm fronds for you. We have had those in the past. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you come here Palm Sunday looking for a palm frond, you won't find that today. But I hope and pray you'll find something far more important, of greater value for you. The theme is Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, we do recognize the historicity of Jesus Christ. He came. He lived. He died on the cross for you and for me. He rose triumphantly from the grave. We believe in the historicity of Jesus Christ, fully man and fully God. But we don't live there in history, do we? We recognize those historical events as part of the mission, the life, and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as a church today, as we recognize the entry of Christ, presenting himself indeed as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords into Jerusalem back in that historical day, in that event. But for the church today, the most important fact and truth of that event and that meaning is his entrance into your heart, into my heart. As Christ says there in the book of Revelation, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens that door, I will come into him." In John chapters 13, right on through 17, he talks about the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the King of Kings, coming into our lives, coming into your heart, into my heart. You see, that's the experience, and that's the mystery, that the wonder, that the amazement. Worthy is the Lamb, truly. Is he the Lamb of God who saved you? Is he the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings that has entered into your life? As I say, if that song and the theme and the truth of that song doesn't so move your heart to say, "Amen! Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ." If that theme, that truth doesn't so move your heart, then you're probably dead. Let's be frank. You know, the best place to be frank is the church, right? Amen. Or maybe something's going on in your life that you know shouldn't be there. And so it's robbed you of that passion, of that joyful response to such a theme and truth. We'll take a look and see what Jesus says, okay? In chapter 5 of Matthew, are you all there? I hope you are. We're looking at the Sermon on the Mount and how this relates to our lives in submission to the reign of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, in our life and in his church. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. I know some of you might be saying, "Well, Bill, we haven't done the Beatitudes." We're going to get to those in a different venue. We'll go through the Beatitudes on Wednesday night. In the near future, as we go through these Beatitudes. But we're going to start as we follow the introduction to the Sermon on the Mount last Sunday. We're going to pick that up in verse 13. So follow with me, please. "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under the basket, but understand that it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Would you join with me in prayer? Father God, we thank and praise you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the very Lamb of God that has taken away our sins there at the cross, taking our condemnation, our judgment from God, the wrath of God upon us, that we could receive eternal life and have the forgiveness of our sins and live as people who are forgiven and find it so much easier and graciously to forgive others. Father, we pray now that as we enter into your word, may we see the great influence that you have called us to in Christ Jesus as both salt and light. Excuse me. Father, I pray that your word will go forth with clarity and the conviction that only your Holy Spirit can give to all of our hearts, my heart included, that there will be no interruptions. Lord, just give me the ability to speak your words. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here, in verses 13 through 16, he's talking about the Christian identity and influence. As you see in your outline before us, we do have an identity, and our identity is in Jesus Christ. Amen? It's there, it's always will be there, and for eternity, our identity is in Jesus Christ. Not in a church location. Our identity is not in a religion or the practice thereof, but our identity is in Jesus Christ. But also, because our identity is in Jesus Christ, we have an influence. So he uses two metaphors, two word pictures, something that's very common of the day and very common of today too. That is salt and light. And so we have, if you will, take a look, if you will, as we read this, the extensiveness of the influence that you and I in Christ Jesus are to have and must have and should have. First of all, he says, as far as that, he says, you are the salt of the earth. He didn't say of Jerusalem. He didn't say of only Judea. He didn't say only of Israel. But he said of the earth. The Lord was prophetically looking forward to when his church, who is under, if you will, the grace of the kingdom of God, by the gospel of that kingdom, to have an influence so extensive in the world. And it does today. It did back then when he spoke these words, but he knew that you and I would be a part of his body and to have that influence extensively in the world. Notice, if you will, he says, not only as the salt of the earth, but we have that same extensiveness of reality, of influence that you and I have in Christ Jesus. We are the light of the what? Of the world. Of the world. The Lord, he knew and understood that his church, which would be the manifestation of his kingdom here on earth, would have that extensive influence and impact here on earth. Not just in Jerusalem. Not just in Judea. And he says the same thing in Acts there. When the church was birthed, in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he says, and you shall receive power, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Yes, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria. But then again, the extensiveness, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. And so we see that these words include all of us here as Christians in the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice, if you will, it says, and you are. It's interesting. When he says, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, it's in the emphatic mood which he says, you and you alone are that salt. You and you alone are that light. How could Jesus say that? Well, he could, because he knows what his salvation means in the life of men, women, and boys and girls. I don't mean a person when you're asked, do you know the Lord Jesus? Oh, sure, I know him. Are you being the salt and light? Well, that's for a different time. No, it's not. is for now. The way you could translate that is just as I said, you are. You alone are. Now he's talking to us both individually, but he's talking to us also collectively as the body of Christ, the church, which again is a manifest presence of Christ in his kingdom here on earth. Are you that salt? Are you that light? In Christ Jesus, you are. Let's take a look and see what that means. Because you see, if the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, has truly entered into your life and into my life, it's not just a passionate response to the truth and what was sung before in that truth and theme, but it's also the commitment of our lives to say, yes, Lord, in you, I am that salt. Lord, in you, I am that light. Lord, use me for your glory and the glory of my Heavenly Father. Let's take a look and see what else Jesus says as we take a look at these two metaphors, these two word pictures. We're talking about how Christians are to live as citizens of the kingdom of God right now in a world that is in state of anarchy. Now, one of the reasons that he brings in these two metaphors of both salt and light is because of the influence that is so desperately needed in the world that you and I live in. You and I live in a world that is decayed. You and I live in a world that is filled with darkness.
Just touch up and get rid of it.
Now, if you're in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can look back and you say, yes, that's where I was. And that's exactly where God says we were. Something changed. Something glorious, something wonderful changed when Christ came into your heart, into your life. And you and I become that salt, that light, in a world that is decaying and filled with darkness. The power of salt. Take a look at your outline. The power of salt. Salt has power. That's why he was using something very common. But they understood both the value and the influence that salt can have. First of all, in that culture, in that particular time, salt was precious. Do you know that historically more wars have been fought over salt than gold and silver? That's a fact. Because it was so precious, and still is precious in many areas of the world today. Salt is precious. The Roman soldiers, they were paid in salt money. Sometimes they were given salt as their pay. And sometimes they were given extra money to buy salt. And so one of the words we get for a salary comes from the Latin word of their salt money. Salt is precious. Salt was common tender back in those days when you would trade. You'd go to the marketplace. And if you had a bag of salt, a pound of salt, you could trade it for meat, for bread, in those days. They had what was known as salt caravans. The only thing they carried was salt because it was so precious. And oftentimes the bandits would rob those salt caravans because the salt was so what? So precious. When the Lord says, you alone are the salt of the earth. He's saying how precious you are. How precious you are in his plan, his purpose, in his kingdom. But also we see that salt is something else. Salt purifies. Salt purifies. Remember Elisha there in the Old Testament where he purified the poisoned waters of Jericho? What did he purify them with? Salt. In the ancient days, back then, they would also take a newborn babe and they would rub that newborn babe with salt. Cleanse. Purify that child. The Jews, they would offer certain offerings with salt. Salt also represented to them a purity. So when the Lord Jesus Christ says to you and to me as citizens of his kingdom, as members in his body, the church, you alone are salt. So you're pure. I know, but I'm not there. Are you there? But you see, God the Father sees us in the purity of His Son, Jesus Christ. God the Father sees you and every born-again believer in the righteousness and the purity of His Son. But that doesn't mean that I have to chuck the ball and say, well, that's okay. I can live any way I want. I can be involved in any relationship I want. I'm my own captain of my own life. Then Jesus Christ is not the king of yours and He's not reigning in your life. And if we were to say that as a church, then Jesus Christ is not the head of this church. He wants every one of us who are alive in Him to live pure lives. How do we do that? How do you and I pursue purity in our lives? Because that's what we must do. We must allow the Word of God to come into our lives and bring conviction. You see, it's the Word of God coupled with the ministry of the Holy Spirit that brings a reproof and correction and instructions and righteousness into our lives, where we can say, yes, Lord, I confess this is a sin. I agree with You. This sin in my life, this relationship that I have is wrong. This action that I'm doing, this attitude that I have, this wall of sin, I agree with You. Lord, cleanse my heart on the basis of the sacrifice of Your Son, Jesus Christ. When Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, He's saying also, you are the purity that I want you to be before a lost and dying world. A world that I saved you out of. A world that is decaying in darkness. There's something else that salt does too. It's not only precious and purifying, but it also promotes thirst. It also promotes thirst. If we are indeed, we are the salt of the earth, we are also to promote thirst in the hearts and lives of others for Jesus Christ, the living water. Where does that promotion of thirst first begin? I believe it begins in the home, where it should begin. And then it goes out beyond that. I believe as salt of the earth, Jesus Christ means that we should be promoting thirst in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls for a relationship with the living water, Jesus Christ. Don't you? Don't you? I won't ask you to raise your hand. But do you understand what salt means when He says, you alone are the salt? Are we producing? Are we endeavoring? Are we praying that our lives, our testimonies, the witness of our life for Jesus Christ would promote thirst in the hearts and lives of others? Our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, the people that we work with, people that we go to school with, our next door neighbor. When Jesus Christ says, you are the salt of the earth, it's extensive. It's not just about me. It's not just about you. It's about Jesus Christ. Those who He wants to save by His grace. You see, we truly do live in a world that is decaying and filled with darkness. And salt also preserves. Take a look at your outline. When Christ says, you alone are the salt of this earth, He wants us knowing to recognize and know that we're precious, that He wants purity of our lives, us to pursue that purity. He wants to promote thirst in the lives of others, family and friends and others. But as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to preserve through practice. What are we to preserve? Are we to preserve South Mountain Bible Church as an organization? No! Are we to preserve all these things that in our culture says this is Christianity when they are so far off the mark from a biblical Christianity? Are we to preserve those things? No. Are we to preserve just this half-hearted thing of, yes, I know Jesus Christ, I know Him as my Lord and Savior, but I can live my life as any way I want and have any relationship I want in this world? Are we to preserve that? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Let me share with you a few things that Christ, Our King wants you and I to preserve as the salt of the earth. Take a look at your outline. We're to preserve the value of life. I find it interesting that there are many who profess the name of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, could care less about the value of life. They say, well, if a woman wants to go ahead and have an abortion, go ahead, it's her body. If a person who is really getting tired of life, go ahead and just wipe them out. Give them the pill. You may say, well, those are extremes. They're happening today. You see, as the salt of the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, our King, through His life within us, wants to preserve the values of life from conception right unto death. There's other things, too, that we need to preserve as a value of life. But let's go on. We need to preserve the value of marriage. There's a biblical value to marriage. There's a biblical definition of marriage where a man and a woman are married and they are one. It's not just living together. It's not just saying, well, that's a contract with a society. I don't need that. No, it's a covenant with God. And if you're in a relationship, you need that. If that's the one the Lord has for you. You see, as a salt of the earth, we're to preserve the value of marriage. No matter what it costs us. We're to preserve the value of family. God has principles and yes, rules in raising a family. And if it takes me to learn some new principles from Jesus Christ, as opposed to throw, if you will, the old principles of my parents and how they raised me, I want to raise them for Jesus. I find it interesting that a lot of families that we've counseled over the 42 years, and even myself happened with my wife and myself, we began when we started a family to raise our kids at the same way that our parents raised us. How many have done that? Raise your hand. Oh, come on now. You know it's true. But you know what turned around in our marriage, in our family, when we realized that some of the ways my parents handled conflicts and relationship within the home and outside the home were not according to the Word of God. Have you discovered that too in raising your children? Maybe you're saying, well, Bill, it's too late. My kids are already grown up. They're adults. And they have families of their own. Well, be the salt as grandparents in their family, in their marriage, with your grandkids. Tell them when you made a mistake in raising them, doing the things that you were not to do, and ask them to forgive you. We had to do that with our kids. You are the salt of the earth. Means we can preserve those values by practice, by living them. Not just when it feels good, not just when it's comfortable. It's going to cost. It's going to burn like salt in a wound at times. You know what I mean. We're to preserve godly values of life, of marriage, of family, godly values of church. Church is important. I mean the body of Christ. I don't mean an organization. I mean when the body of Christ gathers together, you see the importance of being the church and being part of the church in worship and fellowship. There in the book of Acts. What made those Christians so salty and so bright? Because they were preserving godly values in their lives. Now indeed, they had to learn those values and throw away the old and put on the new. Godly values of relationships. I've been in relationships where not glorifying to God. I know that now. And you know something? I knew that then. But I still did it. By God's grace. God's mercy. I feel that's wrong. Godly values. We're to preserve those godly values. We're to preserve the truth. Study and practice God's word, living and speaking the truth. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word and are truly my disciples, are you truly a disciple of Jesus Christ? I pray that you are. I pray that you are. Not just saying it in word. I find it easy, I find it very frequent that when you ask people some spiritual issues and spiritual values, whether it's your family, or whether it's your marriage, or whether it's them individually, you can almost tell they're calculating. Now, what does Bill really want to hear? Right? Yeah. And we all do that. We all do that. To various degrees. But to be the salt of the earth, we shouldn't make those calculations. We should preserve the truth. So many Christians today are playing like Pontius Pilate. Oh, what's truth? What's truth? It doesn't matter. Well, if it matters to you about my family, my marriage, it shouldn't. It should only matter to you about your family, your marriage. Well, it does that too. But as brothers and sisters in Christ, it matters. Why? Because we're to preserve the truth. The truth of God's word. Rather speaking the truth than love. Sometimes we think we're preserving the truth when we become the hammer and the anvil that God is and we're not. We're to speak the truth in love and let God be the hammer and the anvil that He is. The gospel. We're to preserve the gospel. How do we do that? We know it, we live it, we share it. Paul said that in Galatians, he says, I'm writing this letter to you. But it's really important to preserve the gospel for your generation so that you can pass it on to the next generation. Why is that so important? Paul also said that in the Corinthians, there are many gospels. There are many Jesuses. But there's only one true gospel. There's only one true Jesus Christ. So you and I have to preserve the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of the reasons why we're having that study group on Sunday night. That'll be starting on the 23rd. Forgive this announcement, this commercial, okay? You should all be a part of it. It's going to be a DVD study as we go into study. What do other people say about Jesus? Because sometimes you ask a Mormon, do you believe in Jesus? I sure do. You ask a Jehovah, do you believe in Jesus? I sure do. They believe in a different Jesus than the Jesus in the Scriptures. You see, being the salt of the earth, we're to preserve godly values. We're to preserve the truth by living it and speaking it. We're to preserve the gospel by knowing it, living it, and sharing it. Are you the salt of the earth? If you know Jesus, you are. Looking at the time, I really am. Okay, you might not think so, but I am. All right. Let me just interject a conclusion part that I had. You know, when we were in Kalimantan, salt was important there in the interior. Because when you perspire a lot, you've got to make sure you had an intake of salt, too. And the Dayaks understood that for generations. When you go to some of the market villages in the interior, you'd find a 4x4 by maybe 3 inches high block of salt that they would have shipped in from the coast. A lot of it was from these desalination ponds that they would get the salt. But you know something? It wasn't like Martin salt, which is... pure white, and it would flow with a block. And oftentimes you'd find it at different shipments of these blocks. Sometimes you'd find pieces of dirt in them. And sometimes you'd find that they weren't white at all, but they were kind of like a dull brown. But it was salt.
It was pink.
But you know what happened?
It became a lead salt.
It became tasteless salt. You see, salt will never lose its saltiness in one true sense. But what happens when salt loses its saltiness is when it gets compounded with other things, like dirt, like sand, like bugs. Okay? When the Lord says, when salt loses its salty taste, the only good for it is to throw it on, and it wasn't saying that of his people, but he was pointing out that we're either good for something, or we're good for what?
Nothing,
right? How do you regain your saltiness? By being not conformed to this world. And being not contaminated with the things of this world. That's it's so mixed up in our lives that the purity of our lives is diminished. That the influence of our lives is diminished. How do you do that? By admitting to the Lord, Lord, I've been going my way. I've been going the way of the world. I've been mixing up. I've been conformed to the world. Lord, forgive me. I want to be a Romans 12, 1 and 2 Christian. You're saying, wait a second, Bill, what's that all about? Therefore, I beseech you, brethren, to become living sacrifices. Holy. Holy. It's not to say, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed with the renewing of your minds. That goes back to truth. Renewing of your minds. That you may be able to prove, test, and experience the will of God in your life. What's the will of God for us? That you and I would indeed be all that he intends us to be as a salt of the earth. The power of salt, the penetration of light. As light increases, we are to penetrate the world with that light. It all begins with Jesus. Take a look at your outline. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but we'll have the light of life. You see, that's where that light in your life is to begin, with Jesus Christ, and my life and your life. All who receive Jesus Christ receive that light, the light of life, that new life. We become, take a look at your outline, we become the light and new birth. Like Paul says in Ephesians, listen to this, therefore do not associate with them. He's talking about those in darkness, those who are living a life of decay, those who are living a life without Jesus Christ. Even if they're saying, yes, I'm a Christian. And they're not preserving the truth. Therefore, do not associate with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are a light in the Lord. We become that light at the new birth. It wasn't because you were born in a Christian family, but praise God, you were. That you have a gospel environment. If your parents are living for Christ, the salt and light. If they aren't, it's no wonder we see the things that are happening. We become the light of at the new birth. We are to shine together. We shine brighter together. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The course of our lives is to walk in the light. The communion of our lives is the bond that we have together. We have fellowship with one another in the light, with Christ. We have the cleansing going on also. You see, the same light of Jesus that shines in my life that Christ wants to shine through our lives to others is the same light, too, that reveals the things in my life that I must confess. Reveals the same things in your life, too, that you must confess. And He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness so we can shine brighter. Amen? We shine brighter together. Our light is seen by what we do and say on behalf of the King. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Paul puts it this way. That's why I said earlier in the introduction last week, you find so much teaching of the Sermon on the Mount has permeated the teachings of the apostles. You see that in the letters. Ephesians chapter 5. Walk as children of what? Of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Paul says it another way in Romans chapter 12, verse 21. If you and I are indeed all that Christ is making us to be, as the salt of the earth, the light of the world, you and I can, in Christ Jesus, for the glory of the Father, overcome evil with good. That's one of the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Let me ask you again. Have you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Have you? I need to ask that. That's just because I'm a pastor and happen to be the pastor of South Mount Bible. I have to ask that as a Christian. You should be asking that as well. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I pray that you have. But if you haven't, the good news is right now today. That you can today and be that salt and be that light in Jesus Christ and be that citizen of His kingdom. How is it transforming your life? You see, the transformation of my life gives credence to what I say about that first question. If I say, yes, the Lord Jesus is my Lord and Savior, but there's no transformation going on in Bill Gray's life, I'm a liar. And the truth is not in me. Jesus Christ brings change. And He uses two pictures for that change in your life and my life and the life of His church. You and you alone are the salt of the earth. You and you alone are the light of this world. By God's grace, through Jesus Christ, you can be all of that. Would you pray? Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that you have saved us by your grace through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we have been so moved and convicted by your word and moved by your Holy Spirit to believe and to trust in Jesus Christ and His finished work. And we know that we know that we know the Savior. And we know that we have eternal life. And we know that you are changing us from inside out. Not only individually, but collectively as a church family. We know that you are working for your glory, the glory of the Father, through the power of your Holy Spirit. So Lord, we ask you today that we would not be saltless, but that we would truly be all that you intend us to be, the salt of the earth. That our light would not be hidden, but the light of our life in you, Lord Jesus, would be seen by all. Our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors. That others would see our good works by your grace and glorify you, our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.